Yo, this is Rob Harvilla from 60 Songs That Explain the 90s, the world's greatest loopy and perverse and inaccurately named music nostalgia podcast. We're doing 90 songs now because there's too many songs. Pearl Jam, Jay-Z, Jewel, U2, Cher, Hootie. These are just some of the names people yell at me on the internet because we're back. More great songs, more rad special guests, more loopy perversity. Join us once more on 60 Songs That Explain the 90s every Wednesday on Spotify.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Listeners, welcome. This is Sound Only. I'm Justin Sheridan.
And I'm Mike Peters.
We're your Sound Only co-hosts, here to record our deepest, darkest thoughts. I'm here fresh off a periodontal maintenance appointment. My mouth hurts. I'm looking like Aaron Eckhart's Harvey Dent. Here to record my deepest, darkest thoughts about Naughty Dog's Neil Druckmann's The Last of Us on HBO Max.
You know, it's that time. It's that time. Video games are prestige now.
Series premiere, world premiere, The Last of Us on HBO. After all this time, right? All this time, we have a live action adaptation of the hit PS3, you know, era closer, The Last of Us.
Yeah, it's like, you know how they have those diptychs to like illustrate how long like one player has been in the league through like so many versions of 2K. So it's like LeBron's, you know, Easter Island head in like 2K5, you know, to like the bead running down the sweat on his left nostril, like, you know, the bead of sweat running down his left nostril into his beard in like 2K23. Is like, you know, the side by side of Joel in the 2013, you know, PS3 version and Pedro Pascal. You know, the story is finally fully rendered. Surely there cannot be a further update on this story after this one.
Perhaps. I tell you what, there's a lot of ground to cover in this episode, so cards on the table up front. Like I'm the people's viewer on this episode. I've watched what everyone else has watched. I watched the first episode. You've seen screeners. Our colleague Allison's seen the whole damn show. I'm gonna tell you where I'm at. I like this shit. The first episode, first of all, too long, like all prestige TV.
Yeah.
Too long. Second of all, great. I think they actually I felt like they nailed it, man. Like I felt like and I say this as someone who does not like the game, the original The Last of Us. I feel like they nailed it. I feel like the drama that people like about that, like, I don't know, The Last of Us at the end of the day is like a thing people like. Like, if we're talking about the video game, right? People like because of its character work and because, again, especially for like a PlayStation 3 era, like pseudo survival horror game.
Yeah.
Was trying to be like, let's have actually good and competent writing on like a Resident Evil game, right? And like,
you know,
let's be the zombie game that is actually a bit eloquent and melancholy and not
and less, you know, about how like boulders. You know, awesome like a chainsaw looks going through rotted flesh. It's about like, you know, it really is about developing trust and like, you know, the kind of human cost of attachment, like in all its different ways, and like it's set up well. It's like it's set up well in that fashion. I think that like, yeah, but for you know, maybe a little bit of Pedro Pascal's like Texas accent. Like I in the same way that I thought for months about the way that Pep Guardiola says "guys," like after watching like the Manchester City All or Nothing on Amazon Prime, I'm gonna think about the way that Pedro Pascal says "baby," like, you know, like for a long time. It's like, it's as if like he gets closer to the accent that he needs to have, like, you know, the sort of like I would take a job on an oil rig for the money because I need to save my mom's farm type of, like, yeah, you know, draw that he's supposed to have going on. Mm-hmm. But instead it kind of like arrives somewhere like, you know, Austin Butler trying to be Elvis, you know, like it's very,
I'm not talking about the whole accent.
I'm just talking about baby. Like, and mm-hmm. it was the only thing I didn't like. The rest of it. Yes. I think that it absolutely was like a really like amazing pilot, like episode of television. And I've seen the first four episodes. Yeah. I think it is a good television show. Like, it's definitely got, I think, like, you know, the thing I was talking about earlier about the 2K side-by-side thing, like, this story has been remade as many times as new versions of a PlayStation has come out. Like, yeah, there's, yeah, like, it's basically, you've seen Grace die on screen as many times as you've seen Bruce Wayne lose his parents in the movie alley. Like, it's like there is, it's like they've updated it in, you know, as like sort of a display of what the PlayStation is capable of at any given time, even like as recently as 2022 with The Last of Us. The Last of Us Part One, which is not the same thing as The Last of Us Remastered, which is, yeah, not the same thing as et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that maybe for me, like as somebody that only kind of like was, you know, cursorily aware of the games, hadn't played through The Last of Us Part Two even, like even as somebody that isn't like overly familiar with the story, I already had fatigue about it just being the exact same thing that it was, like, you know, like the game itself already has a you know, like movie aspirations. Like, so what would like a retelling of the exact same story be like on the television medium? And after four episodes, I can say that, like, for better and for worse, like it's trying to be its own thing.
There is like a conservatism. I don't mean that politically. I mean like conservatism in terms of aspiration that is just forever, I think, wrapped up in The Last of Us. Like, I don't know. Watching the first episode, right, of the HBO series, man, I really was kind of shocked by how verbatim, not even the dialogue really, but just the action and movement of some of it is, right? Like that, you, the sequence on the highway and then into downtown, right? Like that is basically, maybe I'll go back and play it again. I'm pretty sure that's almost, they somehow with real people and real objects made a shot for shot remake, yeah, of the CG cutscene shit from the beginning of the first game.
Yeah, I mean, like that's what the first episode feels like. Like, yeah. I mean, like it's, you know, after, you know, post its cold open where, you know, dude from The Mummy, like Brendan Fraser's cousin or whatever. Yeah. I forget what the actor's name is, but like they're kind of doing like the minutes to midnight thing that Watchmen does at the beginning of the movie or the comic book, whichever, where they're trying to explain the gravity of the situation. What would happen if the Cordyceps virus, which is, you know, the brain virus thing in question that has turned the masses into, you know, an ant colony more or less, like, you know, what if it did, you know, develop or mutate to the point where it could infect the human population, what then? And then, like, he's just kind of like, well, you know, disaster. But, you know, he does it in white linen smoking a cigarette on, you know, whichever daytime British talk show it is at the time. And so it looks cool. But, like, after that, it's like, you know, yeah, it's more or less beat for beat, like, what the opening, like, flash to 20 years later after the, you know, the tragedy in which Joel loses his daughter. It's the exact same thing, you know, with real people, things, algae, fungal overgrowth.
Yeah, although I will say, like, to your point up top, right, about the show being willing to take its time to do shit. Like, because think about how Sarah's introduced in this show, right? It's sort of like in the game. The first scene in the game really is the scene on the couch, right? It's Joel and Sarah hanging out on the couch, and like she's supposed to go do some homework or some shit like that. And it's like showing the banter between Joel and his daughter. And then Joel's kind of like, you know, a dickhead, but we love him, right? The dad core archetype that is Joel. But in the show, it feels like you spend so much more time with Sarah out, like getting the watch repaired, shit like that. And it's like, that's a small thing, right? But it feels kind of important that it's like, you know, I wrote this piece maybe like a couple of years ago about some other, maybe even a year ago, about some other adaptation that was coming out on TV. And I just remember thinking that like, oh, right, a huge advantage, like when people talk about the video game curse, right? They're talking about movies most of the time. And it's like, I think video game adaptations and movies have a lot of problems, but like one of them is that video games at the end of the day are environments, right? Like when you play a video game, you're sitting down and doing something very different from when you sit down and watch a movie, right? Like you're getting a feel for like a space on your own, right? Right. And TV, for a lot of reasons, feels like it's just more naturally conducive to that. And even something like The Last of Us, where it's like, yeah, it's easy to kind of knock the original game as like a little too overly cinematic and a little too linear.
A little too scripted.
But what's important and what I think is striking to a lot of people apart from the character work of the game is that it's just you being in this decimated environment and really feeling like you are getting a lay of the land. And I do think that is kind of an interesting thing about the promise of this show and something that I feel like, I don't know, I do look forward to. Like, I can't imagine that if we were doing this instead as like some live action adaptation movie in theaters, yeah, all the shit that would get rushed and just feel like it would suck all the oxygen out of what it actually feels like investing in those characters in the game, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think that there is certainly a lot more, and honestly, you can point to something that you already wrote, like in when you were talking about Cyberpunk 2077 and the missing dystopia, like, or it feeling when you were playing the game, not like it eventually was when you were watching the anime, where they took time to explore which nefarious forces might lead to people jerking off using VR equipment next to dumpsters, you know, like in the middle of the afternoon, that sort of thing. Like, yeah. At a certain point, like there is, like, you know, Joel stops to siphon gas out of like a tank, like a car that's sort of piled up with several others on the side of the road. And rather than like, you know, try to get the car running, it's just sort of like, we can siphon gas. And then Ellie asks how, and then he's just kind of like, he starts trying to explain it, but then he himself doesn't know. And it's like, we are building the relationship between the two of them and also explaining the way the world works through this kind of simple thing. There's a lot of time for things like that in the show.
Yeah, because I was going to say, like, that's another thing about, apart from just the big stakes of the original game, I think a thing a lot of people really like about the design of that is like there's so much little character animations that mean the world in The Last of Us, right? Like just little ways that characters interact with the environment around them that gives, I don't know, that just sort of like multiplies the sense of melancholy and the sense of humanity about everything as you're moving through that game. And I do think the show definitely is like mimicking that in really like smart, small ways. Like I think my favorite moment of the pilot is when Joel is sort of trading pills with the guard, right? In the alley. And he's like, yeah, I'm gonna need the bag back. You know what I mean? It's like that's how scarce everything is, and that's how shitty everything is like he's hustling out of a plastic bag, and also like he can't afford to part with this little Ziploc bag. He actually needs it back when you're done putting all them pills in your uniform. Like shit like that is what I think the detail of like The Last of Us is about in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like it is not just kind of, I think, you know, to reference another game that is on like the same engine, like Uncharted.
Yeah,
I think about like this. I think every time I'm playing Uncharted, I think about the same scene. And I'm going to keep reaching really far into my reference bag here. Like the same scene. And like, I think it was like the penultimate episode of like Angel, like the Buffy spinoff.
Oh, wow.
Like, he's like, they're basically facing down like, you know, hordes of demons, the end of the world, whatever. And they're pouring out of like this tree, I remember.
Mm-hmm.
First wave comes out, you know, and they're kind of like, it's, they realize, all right, well, we're going to do this, but it's going to be difficult. And then the second wave comes out, and like, you know, they come out, you know, with weapons overhead. And Spike looks to Angel and he goes, oh, look, they bought us weapons. That's what I think the entire time I'm playing Uncharted. There's not really any sort of like danger that you will ever run out of ammo.
Yeah.
Like new paramilitary people arriving with X amount of body armor just means that they're carrying a cooler gun that you get to use for however long, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be really interesting to kill like a score of soldiers with this thing that I'm going to get from these people that just came into this event area is the way that you think about the game. Like there's just such a scarceness when you're playing through The Last of Us. You're so bad at violence, like despite like it being such a necessity. That like there's also that sort of like dimension to thinking where if you pick up an assault rifle, you're just kind of like, well, I better go tuck this away to sell later. Immediately, this is a bartering item because there's not really ammo lying around for this thing is like the level of thinking that goes on in like this Last of Us universe by contrast.
For sure. And a lot of the context for that from the game, right? It's sort of if you go back and try to like just close your eyes and place yourself wherever you were in like 2013, right? And sort of what was the gaming landscape and remembering sort of the beginning of peak Call of Duty, right? And sort of the tail end of peak Halo. And it's sort of you get the beginnings of, you know, it's just sort of like big, ignorant, boom, 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 shoot, 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 multiplayer shit. And I think The Last of Us exists, right, as a kind of, I don't want to say antidote, but at least a contrast for a lot of people or like a kind of refreshing change of pace at that time. And I think that's why that scarcity stuff works, even though there are other games, like, that's what survival horror was always about, right? That, like, that sense of, yeah, man, you're getting six bullets and you're just going to have to make that work.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? In addition to scarcity, there's also like a measure of restraint like in those games that is like the thing that makes it, that also makes it into the show.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Like it's not, for it being on, like this is always what's been a weird thing about it. It's like, on paper, right, you explain The Last of Us to someone and it's like, well, it's this early 2010s zombie thing. And that person is inevitably like, Oh, you mean like the other
dead.
Yeah, it's like the other 40 early 2010s zombie things. You know, that's kind of what's kind of weird about the fact that The Last of Us broke out like it did, is that the game kind of came out right on the tail of a lot of other things like The Last of Us. It should have gotten lost in the shuffle, probably. But again, it's like that kind of literary excellence that that game is going for is,
yeah,
is, yeah.
It's not original by like any stretch of the imagination. Like, yes, there are like so many things just like it. As you were describing it that way just now, I was like, oh, the Book of Eli is also the story.
yeah. Like, yeah.
But like, there is, because there's like such attention paid to at which point you're dropped into whose story and how much of each story you get.
Yeah.
And even further, like the voice acting being as precise as it is, mm-hmm, means that pauses and breaths in certain places mean something different. Like, is not something that would be like present a lot in, like, you know, like the story campaigns of like major blockbuster video game releases at the time. Like, I'm thinking like it was Gears of War and this, like, yeah, were happening, yeah, at the same
Gears
time.
Of War and this. Yes. Yep.
And I remember it's like, it's such a thing when you and Dom come across, like, you know, his wife that no longer looks like his wife in like this horde camp. And that is as close to like, you know, emotional weight as you really get in Gears of War, because it is like kind of, look at the way the character models are drawn. It is chest thumping machismo. Everybody's neck looks like a tree trunk.
Yeah.
Like
those
and
necks,
then,
man. That pushy arrow.
Like,
he wasn't
dead. push. Exactly. The mission was still being accomplished at this point in time.
It was a different time.
But yeah, like, The Last of Us is like nothing. You never win. You never win. It's like a story where nobody wins and nobody, like, you know, there's nothing feels like winning. Nothing feels like triumph. It's like survival is just survival.
Yeah.
Is like what the game was.
Yeah. And it's like, there's a kind of, because I've always had this kind of like irritated relationship with the game, I think it's been easy for me over the years to discount or even dismiss at turns like Neil Druckmann's kind of obsessiveness about The Last of Us and the way he talks about it and the kind of like the obsessive levels of detail that are, I think, a part of the packet, like a critical part of the package. But it's kind of like, I don't know, I watched this show, I watched the first episode, having read all the interviews where he's talking about it, you know, all, like, how many times can Neil Druckmann, you know, invoke Cormac McCarthy? How many times can we relitigate the video game curse in these interviews? And yet you watch the final product, right? And you watch like how the pilot does sort of what I'm saying. It takes the fact that a lot of what people love about character work in the game is these little things, these little character animation things, things that are that small, things that are about like 10 frames of animation if Ellie walks near a record player or something like that, right? And translate that so meticulously in also how the show sort of takes shape. And it is a kind of like, yeah, you know what? You can think whatever you want about Neil Druckmann's vision for the relationship between video games and other sort of middle brow, more critically esteemed media. But like at the end of the day, Neil Druckmann, like, he got the job done. You know what I mean? Like, I like a man who gets the job done. And it's like, it, you know, you can, I don't know. It's just like, there is something admirable in it. There's something admirable in the fact of like, I kind of disagree with this sort of like chip on the gamer, the proverbial gamer's shoulder that so many people have about like, why can't, you know, video games have their Citizen Kane or whatever that we've been sort of litigating for a decade and a half. But like, I don't know, man. It, like, Neil Druckmann rolled out of bed and every day and, like, got us to this point with this show that isn't bad. It's pretty good. And it's, like, good in a way where I'm like, huh, I just respect the shit out of that. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I mean, the thing that you're talking about, like, the kind of, you know, the post-production press tour of it all, of, like, being on stage or in Entertainment Weekly, like, you know, placing your thing alongside paragons of the genre or whatever. There's, like, always an element of that with, like, new event viewing show coming out.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
like, but, like, I think, like, you know, you contrast something like that with, like, Damon Lindelof talking about Watchmen. Like, mm-hmm. every single one of those interviews was, like, a therapy session where he was trying to speak directly to Alan Moore or whatever. Like, there's sort of that sort of sweaty studiousness going on in, like, the way that Neil Druckmann has talked about this thing before it came out. But, like, it was apparent, like, that sort of, like, reverence or, like, meticulousness is necessary to, like, to make something like this, I think. Like,
yeah, it's like sometimes you need a kind of annoying person, like a kind of annoyingly obsessive person to get the job done, a kind of annoyingly ideologically obsessive person to get the job done. And I think that's kind of what Neil Druckmann has been all throughout the life cycle of this game that has been remade two times over and then turned into a hit television show. Can I ask a question? I have a question because, like, if you read, like, that New Yorker story about, like, you know, it's like the New Yorker story talking to Druckmann, all of this stuff always gets framed in terms of the video game curse, right? Which is this idea that, like, certainly movies have had a hard track record of adapting video games into both critically and commercial, like, simultaneously critically and commercially successful properties. Sometimes you get stuff that's critically panned but commercially successful, like the Resident Evil movies. Sometimes you get stuff that's, like, critically and commercially, like, successful, like maybe Sonic or Detective Pikachu or some shit, but that's kind of, like, doesn't feel like it counts because it's not middle brow, it's some kid shit. And the thing I don't get is this. Here is my remaining frustration with how The Last of Us is sort of being positioned as, like, the definitive end of this curse, which is, like, I maintain that game, and I think Druckmann even talks about that game explicitly himself, that game is so kind of, like, that game bends over backwards to more or less just be a movie, right? Like, that. So it's sort of like if your solution to, right, which is fine. It's not, I don't want to just throw that out as, like, me rolling my eyes at it, but it's more like if your solution to the struggle in Hollywood to make a good video game movie is to just make a video game that basically did 90, like, that basically is imitating a movie in the first place, right? So as to be imminently adaptable. What problem did you solve? Right? Like, that's the thing I don't get about situating The Last of Us this way. It's like, what do you prove by adapting The Last of Us when a thing you could say about The Last of Us is that is a game that always wanted to be a Hollywood movie. That is a game that, like, sacrifices a lot of gameplay elements in service of making it a movie-like object. And so I don't really know how anybody comes away from this series and is like, yeah, Hollywood figured it out. It's like, no, they didn't. Neil Druckmann just made it. Yeah.
It's a solid show. Yeah, it's like a very solid show. Like, it's, like, again, even, like, did I misstep earlier in calling the show good, like, after watching four episodes? Because it really is, like, it's a solid show. It's, but by no means do I look at it and say, this is the savior of the zombie genre or, you know, this, you know, marks the terminus of video games as, you know, something that we need to get other people to like. Like, it's not any of those things, because the like it's the story itself is just a good story. Like, even now as a person that likes to play video games, like going back to play The Last of Us, is I would still prefer to find like a very, you know, dulcet toned British person on YouTube, like recounting the story with some video clips and laid together to playing the game itself, because the story itself is very, very, very good. Like one of the best ones ever put in a video game. Sure. But like the game itself, playing it is like, yeah, like it does sacrifice a lot of gameplay elements, you know, in favor of being a really good story. Like they literally slow down every car so as not to hurt the story's feelings. Like in terms of like, Where it's just like you can be walking, like it's like I have already made it through this room and I've got out of this depot, we're out of this thing. But like, you know, you turn the camera to the side and Joel starts doing this sort of stutter step thing so that the game can get out the aside expositional dialogue that it means to get in this space and where it's triggered, you know. There's also like this really annoying mechanic where you literally lay bridges, like to get from one into the, like, yeah, press S to plank, like where it's like, it is just to take up time. Things that the developers themselves like are aware of, like there will be points where you're one of the 70 million times that you jump into dank water and grab a wooden pallet and, you know, put Ellie on it and swim to the other side. Like, she'll be like, I know, get on the fucking pallet. Like, there's a lot of stuff like that in the game itself. Like, so it's not like, and I mean, like, people that are that like, you know, talk about playing it, yes, like the violence of it, like the weight of the movements, the gravity of everything, like the sort of dice roll that it feels like, even as you being Joel, a capable character, may miss this shot at 25 feet, like just because nerves and humans, and he is a construction worker, not like, you know, former military or anything like that. Like all those things are great, but the gameplay itself is like,
I say, playing it now is to
realize how much games have passed it by.
The Last of Us sacrificing gameplay stuff in service of basically becoming a movie, right? I raise it because I think if we talk about the video game curse, we talk about the trouble that Hollywood has adapting video game stuff. I just think that like, taking The Last of Us and trying to break that curse with The Last of Us is like training wheels on the bicycle. And to me, if you really, and maybe a curse is just in general not the great way to think about this like an adult, but like if just indulging it for a second, taking those terms, it's like the actual sort of sign that you've broken the video game curse is if you take something that is not like already trying to be a movie or trying to be a prestige TV show, like, if you make a successful like Overwatch movie, like if you make a successful live action adaptation of fucking Overwatch or fucking Minecraft, that's the sign that you've broken the curse, right? Because that's you taking something that is just video gamey. That's not like trying to win an Emmy on a PlayStation 3, but is like just some video game ass video gamey shit that almost only could ever make sense in a video game. When it's like when you put stuff like that, when you can translate that to Hollywood formats, I think we will be in a genuinely different place. And I think for the time being, we have a pretty good, I would say great series on HBO in the form of The Last of Us. You know what I mean? Yeah. I really do think they hit this shit, man. Like, I don't know. Watching that first episode, I was just like,
yeah,
Bill.
Um, build God and then we'll talk Justin Charity. Though. Build
for real though. Build, like make an actual like Street Fighter character drama that actually is not Tekken, some goofy shit for with Jean-Claude Van Damme, set. You know, and then like, and we will be like in the meme about Utopia. Get somebody
make
Oscar
confessions
for
of a shopaholic, you know what I mean? About Forrest Law.
Come on,
and
now.
That's why he ends up for the next Tekken Tag tournament. Make that and have it.
I think that's yeah. Think that's all I got about The Last of Us.
The stop motion Cuphead movie. Like it's all in the works. The There's you gotta just you just make it happen.
Out of its flop era. I hope they remaster the show. I hope that there is The Last of Us HBO TV series remastered in 1 year from now. And then they could remake the TV series. They just start getting like BD Siegel album title names.
The Last of Us
things.
Part 2, Part 1, the remaster. The
Last of Us
movie,
becoming
the album.
Part 2, the remake of the remaster. They should do the last season. They should spin it off
the
last season.
Of Us Part 2, the last part. Report.
The last part. Part 2. we're ending this bit. Listeners, email us at soundonlypod@gmail.com. Your thoughts about The Last of Us, the game, the TV series, whatever you like. We actually got like a couple of really great emails about Cryptonomicon from people who also spent like too much time reading that book. But I really liked it. I hope more people email us about it because I've been talking to people about cryptography for the past week. Micah, you got anything else?
No, that's it. That's all for me. You know, Trigun Stampede is still there. You know, it's fine.
Wait, I have to catch up. Episode. No, I have to catch up.
That's it's still a strange marriage of subject and studio, you know? It's okay. But yeah. So that's about all I got.
Okay. Well, everyone, as always, I'm Justin Charity. Shouts out to our producer, Stefan Anderson. We'll see y'all next week.